Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. It pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe. Well, I preach Christ crucified. Actually, the text says we. First plural, yeah. We preach Christ crucified. So for today, I'm going to ask you to do something that might seem a little bit awkward or a little bit foolish, perhaps. But whenever I say, we preach, I would like for you to say, Christ crucified. So let's practice it a couple times to make sure we're on the same page. We preach.
Christ crucified.
We preach.
Christ crucified.
Thank you. Sounds like we're all on the same page. I know it seems a little bit foolish. It seems like something a fourth year is doing as kind of a gimmick, a foolish thing to kind of stand out a little bit. But, well, St. Paul in his letter talks about some foolish things and the wisdom that's in it. You know, if it was foolish to us today, here, coming into chapel, there's a lot of foolish things that have been in the life of the church thousands of years before we came here today. I mean, just imagine, if you're a man walking through the streets of Corinth, you see all the different types of gods that are on display for you. You see the Roman gods, you see the imperial cults, you even see the Egyptian divinities that have made their way to Corinth. You hear about their power, their capability, the things that they have done, the myths and the legends, and you hear about what they can do for the people who believe. These are the good gods. These are the gods that are worthy of following. These are the gods that are worthy of being imitated. It is good. And perhaps, if you can, imagine that this same man in Corinth dips his head into a Christian church, reading this letter, this epistle. And what does he hear? Well, he hears that we preach Christ crucified. How dumb is that? How dumb is that, that these people are gathered together around an executed criminal, crucified? Not only was this man now guilty of a heinous crime, but he was crucified. He died, and he was lifted up as an example of what not to do. And so these other people, they want to gather around, and they want to worship him? What does he even do for them? He's dead. He's crucified. How dumb is that? But even today, there's plenty of people who are willing to go to the mats to talk about the foolishness of the Christians. The fact that our faith is manufactured, that it's foolish, that doesn't make any sense. Authors have made their livings based on this. YouTube channels are dedicated to this. It's out there because even today, people can grasp this fundamental concept that Christ did come. He was born. He lived. He was crucified, died, and was buried. They can grasp that. That makes sense. That he was risen? That he's coming again one day? He's going to make this new creation, and somehow you and I are a part of that? That doesn't make any sense. How do you know this is going to happen? What proof do you have that this is actually going to come true? It seems foolish. It seems dumb. And even if this person should come into our chapel right now through these doors, what are they going to hear? We preach Christ crucified. It just seems so dumb. But it's not that simple, is it? I mean, that's why you and I, we know that we should still proclaim this message. We still do proclaim that Christ is crucified, but maybe you want to get some more knowledge. You want to grow in your understanding, to speak more fully to what this means. I mean, after all, that's why you go to class, you go to Bible studies, you hear the word preached. Maybe you went to a Christian school your entire life. Maybe you're currently being taught the faith at home through the catechism. You try to grow in your knowledge and understanding, and maybe there's a part of you that's trying to find that silver bullet, that one nugget of truth, that sentence, that line of reasoning that can just persuade, that can convince somebody into the faith, something that makes it more palatable. If it's a tough pill to swallow, why don't we just make it a little bit easier, a little bit more digestible? Or maybe that's not your problem. Maybe you're instead looking around, and you see everything that's happening in the world around you, and you've just given up. The world seems to be falling apart at the seams, and nobody seems to really understand it. Nobody seems to even want to give you a few words to say, and you look at your family and your friends and antagonists against the faith, and you kind of just give up. It'd be foolish to try with these people. Because if you and I really take a moment and we think about the things that you and I want to talk about, we realize it's so true. None of us are considered geniuses by the world's standards. None of us can ever really say something so convincing and so persuasive and so believable that we can bring somebody to the faith. You look at all your knowledge and you look at all your wisdom and all your attempts to gain the right words, to say the right things, to think things through the right way, and you just fall short. It just seems foolish. But it's not that simple, is it? Because God chose the things that were foolish in the world to shame the wise. So see Christ crucified. See the Lamb who takes away the sins of the world going up the hill. See him carry the cross on his own back. See him smitten and afflicted. See him suffer. See him nailed to the cross as he cries out, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing." Read the sign above his head, "The King of the Jews," and watch as the Jews mock him and scorn him. What more foolish sight is there? What more ridiculous thing is the King of the Jews being hurled insults at by his own people? Watch him die. At his right hand and his left hand, there's only thieves. Hear him say, "It is finished." Christ crucified. But if you're quiet enough, if you lean in enough, hear the Roman centurion say, "Truly, this man was the Son of God." 3 days, the tomb is empty. 3 days, the stone is rolled away. 3 days, everything changes for you and for me. I never thought being saved would look like this. I never thought in all my wildest imaginations that this is what it would mean. Because truly, Christ crucified is him on the cross, but you and I know it doesn't just end there. As God's redeemed and saved people, we know that this Christ who died will rise. And not just rise again, he did rise, but not just return. He's going to return again in his glory to judge both the living and the dead. And that kingdom which is coming, that new creation which is coming, will have no end. So remember your calling, Christians. Remember your calling, whose you are. When in baptism, Christ named you and brought you into the kingdom as sons and daughters of the one true God. Remember that though we go through all the trials and the torments that this world has to offer, that one day our risen Savior is coming back. He will make all things new. Let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord, knowing and understanding that you are his. This is the message that you and I carry with us, this hope in our coming in and our going out. Death is not the end for those who believe. It's the folly in the preaching that saves those who believe in it. So in a world that's falling apart at the seams and is in desperate need of the gospel, we preach Christ crucified. When your brothers and sisters in the faith are suffering and are downtrodden and seem to be falling apart every minute of every day, we preach Christ crucified. Knowing that our risen Savior is returning, we preach Christ crucified. So be it. Amen. Now these things were spoken so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, and that by believing in him, you may have life in his name. Amen. Please rise for the singing of our hymn.